York City, connected with the world. Here's Tom Sullivan.
Well, here we are, and welcome to the Big Radio Show. How are you on this Wednesday, the 25th of April, 2018? My name is Tom Sullivan, and I just, first of all, I'd like to start off by telling all of you millennials, I'm really sorry. I'm just generally sorry. So, well, what am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about a big new survey that came out that says that millennials are blaming boomers for ruining their lives. Yep. So it's my fault and my generation's fault for ruining your lives, millennials. First of all, I didn't know your life was ruined. And if it is ruined, could you explain to me how it was my fault? But people are having a tough time, and every generation does have their members that are having a tough time. But beset by college loans and the Iraq War and the Afghanistan War and the future of their work abilities, a majority of millennials say that baby boomers have made things worse for them. And it's not only millennials who believe that. Gen Xers believe that boomers have made it worse for millennials. And even boomers think that they have made it worse for millennials. So it's a generational divide. And what I'm interested in looking at this survey, I've said this off and on over the years, that we watched the debt go up. We watched the national debt get to just beyond where anybody thinks it should be, to where it's into a financially dangerous future. We watch all the programs that people have, from Social Security and Medicare, and then there's the Medicaids and the disability program, all these various things that are out there that people are relying upon, count upon. We're told that that's what they were going to get. But there's a lot of money. And when you look at where the government spends its money, defense and Social Security, Medicare, I know you paid in. I know. Don't yell at me. But those are the, when you take a look at where the checks are being written, those are the big things. So I have contended that once the millennials get a little bit older, some of them are already doing this. Some of them are already running for mayors, governors, members of Congress, as more and more of the old guys and gals retire or die from elected positions, these younger people will take their spot, their rightful position. But when they get there, are they going to look around like this survey cites that they're going, oh, you millennials, now you boomers. Now the boomers are anywhere from about 55 to 75 years of age. All right, throw another 10 years on it. Now the millennials will be in their 30s and 40s, and they will be holding high office. And the boomers will be 65 to 85. And they're going to be pulling money. I mean, I'm sorry, but there's 70-some million of us boomers, and we're going to be draining money from the government for all these promises that have been made to us. And you're going to look and go, we can't afford this. We can't afford to do this. And I think there is a good possibility that the millennials of today will pass legislation 10 years from now, 20 years from now, that say, I know those promises were made, but guess what? We can't afford them. So you're going to get less. I've been harping about this on these teacher strikes, Kentucky, Arizona, and they're out there going, but you promised us these pensions. And guess what? They can't afford them. And there's a lot more of that to come. I've warned a lot of you, especially a lot of you that work for government. A lot of states have not put anywhere near the money they need to put away for your future retirement. And as a result, when you get to be beyond the age that you can work, beyond the age where you're an old person kind of shuffling around, they're going to cut you off. They're going to cut you down for sure. They don't have the money. And so I'm looking at this survey and going, oh, this is kind of a pop culture type of a topic. But I think there's a big deal here. I think when these people, the millennials, get to be of age where they are going to be making policy, I think they will start changing the policies about money going to senior citizens. I know it's going to be brutal. But I predicted this for many, many, many years. So we have a generational divide that I think is just getting underway. We argue about the Republicans and the Democrats, and they fight with each other, and you can't talk to your neighbor anymore. And all that. Wait till you get to the generational divide. I don't know if your grandson or granddaughter is going to come over to your senior citizen home and visit you, because there's going to be a lot of bad feelings. The generational divide could turn into political rivalry. And the reason for it is that the generations will be competing for limited dollars from the government. You're going to be old, boomers, and you're going to say, I want my check. You promised me my check. And the millennials will go, we don't have the money to give you your check. And so therefore you don't get them. Millennials, they have a different view of the world. Boomers insist on the promises that were made to them about Social Security and Medicare. Millennials are looking at automation taking over a lot of occupations that they otherwise would have gotten. So they're getting fewer and fewer job opportunities. I know we'll switch to something new, but right now we don't see what that is. So automation is going to put a lot of people out of business, the auto cars, the auto whatever, kiosks, all that stuff. So 51% of millennials are 18 to 34. 51% blame the boomers who are making things worse for their generation. Just 13% of boomers said boomers have improved things. Gen X not pleased with the boomers either. 30% of the boomers said policies created by them, by their generation, have made things worse. One-third, roughly, say, yeah, we boomers have made things worse with our stupid politicians. Another third said that they've made things better. Another third says they haven't done either. So the boomers are split a third, a third, a third. So what's going to happen, millennials? What's going to happen? Are you going to cut off grandpa? Are you going to cut off your parents when they're old and they cannot work? Who's this? 22-year-old female Democrat. Among the suggestions on ways to improve matters, this young lady says, sleep more because you will be less sensitive to negative emotions. What do you make of this? Do you think the younger generation will cut off the older generation because they can't afford it? And it's all going to come home. And they're going to say, you gave yourselves all these gifts, and we cannot afford it. So if the millennials are 18 to 34. In 10 years, they'll be 28 to 44. And they'll be making policies. 20 years from now, they'll definitely be making policies. They'll be 38 to 54. They'll be at the prime of their lives making policies. They're going to say, wait a minute, we don't have any money, we don't have any jobs, we don't have any anything, because the millennials have used, or the boomers have used it all. Now, here's the other bright spot in all of this. Millennials, all you have to do is wait a few more years, and the boomers will start dying off. And I'm telling you, the drain on the treasury will be enormous until the boomers are starting to dwindle in numbers. And there's only one way they're going to dwindle in numbers, and that is they're going to die. So when they're dead and gone, you millennials will have lots of money to be able to do with whatever you want to do. But until then, as far as the government's concerned, but until then, the government is going to be really stretched on how are they going to write the checks to the boomers. And I would not be surprised if they don't start cutting back on these government benefits, which is why I have pounded the table until I'm tired of pounding it, that you've got to take care of yourself. You've got to put money aside for your own future. You can't rely upon Social Security. You can't rely upon Medicare. You can't rely upon anything. And for those of you that have government pensions, good luck with that. You better have some other money that you're counting on. You think I'm crazy? I'm just looking at this survey, and they're not happy. 51% of millennials are not happy. 42% of Gen Xers are not happy with the boomers. So two generations, a majority of millennials and a nominal majority on the Gen Xers. Phone number is 855-295-6600. There he goes, warning people again. 855-295-6600. You can also find that phone number on my website, TomSullivan.com.
Opinions that matter. Radio that makes you think. Tom Sullivan.
Oh, man. All right, so millennials are not happy with the boomers and blame the boomers for their problems. What do you make of all this? Phone number is 855-295-6600. You can follow me on Twitter, the address at Sullivan Radio. Lynette, are you a boomer? Because she says, so sick and tired of millennials whining about everything. Nothing is ever their fault because everyone owes them a living. Baby boomers were taught how to take care of themselves. Oh. It's not anybody's fault what year you were born. Talk to your parents about that. And so a lot of people after World War II came home and said, let's have babies. And now they're older and entering into that era where they get government benefits. Will they be cut off? Phone number is 855-295-6600. Bob in California. Bob, hi. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Yeah, hi, Bob. How are you? I mean, Tom.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, so, yeah, my comment is that the millennials, I believe, will be prone to costing, if you will, the senior citizens' paychecks down the road, because I feel that the millennials right now, they're not raised with the same moral compass that the older generations were, where we take care of our family, where we take care of our own. And so I believe that you look at Facebook, you look at all the social media stuff, these kids are being indoctrinated in self-absorption to me. And it's just my opinion. And I think that when you look at the end-of-life problems that we have with seniors, if the individual is all about self, they're not going to care about the senior citizen.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but Facebook is not used by the young people. That's been taken over by the older generations. They're the ones who are on Facebook. And secondly, our movement towards being a more secular nation has been underway for a long time, and it kind of started with the baby boomers. I think you're thinking of maybe the greatest generation, which was a lot more. They went to church, they raised their families, there was a good strong middle class. But I've got, look at, I'm part of the boomers, and I'm looking and going, the boomers basically said, hey, if it feels good, do it. Drop out, tune in,
Right.
What was Timothy Leary? You know, drop some acid, smoke some dope.
Oh,
that started with the boomers.
Peace, love, Bobby Sherman.
Yeah. See?
No, you're absolutely correct. You're right. The golden generation is probably who I'm referring to. But it's still, my point is that as we become more secular, the tendency is to become more self-absorbed, I feel. That's my opinion.
Sure.
And that's where the risk lies, is that if we don't have people being raised with compassion and empathy, especially for those that paved the road for the next generation, and I realize, and I'm part of that group, Tom, that I do believe the baby boomers have blown it. I do. And I'm born in 63, so I'm like the last year considered boomer. But I do look at a lot of the social things that were done over these 50 years or whatever, and I think it has caused problems.
I do, too.
But that does.
I do, too. I'm right there with you.
Give the millennials. Yeah. And the millennials, you know, they just, I think that cooler heads will prevail later when they've got more experience in life and dealt with more tragedy in life. I know that for me, I didn't understand probably to the intensity I do today some of the compassions that I have, because I hadn't experienced loss of loved ones. I hadn't experienced these things. But once I did, and of course having children, I became more conservative. And I think that I'm hoping that's the way it will go with this generation as well.
Well, they say that's what does happen is every birthday you start. Well, we change as we go through life, our views and ideas, and because of experience. But that is where people. It's just slower right now. The younger generation came out with a recession, having a hard time getting jobs. All of that sort of stuff, and it's and the pressure to go to college when a lot of them should have gone to trade school instead. I believe they will.
Yeah.
I think human behavior is very predictable. As much as we like to think of ourselves as individuals, I think we act just like each other in many respects, especially when it comes to age. The way we behave economically definitely changes. Just like your parents and your grandparents, we worry about the same things as they did.
Prime time, all the time, with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, it is. Welcome to Prime Time. So, big survey. Millennials, a majority of them say that baby boomers have made their life worse. Ruining their lives. Ruining their lives. I understand the making it worse. I understand all the laws and rules and everything that has been done in this country over the last 50 years has gotten progressively more and more government and less non-government. And as a result, people are being trained to sit back and be, the government will take care of you. And the dirty little secret is, no, they're not going to. And I'm afraid that a lot of these, now I'm going to sound like the old man, get off my lawn. But I'm thinking that millennials are still too young, 18 to 34, to start blaming somebody else for their problems. This is your opportunity, man. You ought to go, I mean, you've got everything you need at your fingertips. You can go get an education, you can go get a skill. You can do a lot of different things. You just need to go do it. It's being handed to you. So don't go blaming everybody else simply because of the fact that your life is so-called ruined. I don't know. Is it the everybody gets a trophy generation? Should be the name of the millennials? Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody's a winner. Well, I'll go back to when I talked about economic history repeating itself. We think that we are so unique. But I will guarantee you that your father at your age was thinking financially about many of the same things you're thinking about. For most of you. A heavy majority of you. I think your grandfather was as well. And your great-great-grandfather and your great-great-great-great-great-great. There is a cycle to finance and the economy and money which makes people feel like their lives are either ruined if they're not, they don't have much of it, or feel like it's doing great if you have a lot of it. Harry Dent, and Harry gets, I mean, he's out there selling all kinds of books now. I always like talking to him. But he is a futurist, and he wrote a lot of books, some great ones that really, really spell it out. The Roaring 2000s, probably the best book that he's written. But what it says is that, and I always get the age wrong, it's either 47 or 48, but that is your peak spending year. It was for you. If you're not 47 or 48, that's what it will be. That was for your parents. That was for your grandparents. That's what there is there's about a 40-year cycle from good to bad to good. And so at your peak spending, you've bought your home. You have put a refrigerator in there and a washer and a dryer, and they're still working. You don't need to go out and buy a lot of other stuff. The sofa still looks good. So your spending is when you're young, when you're setting up your household. You're young, getting married, you need a sofa, you need a washer, dryer, refrigerator, all that stuff, and you're not making a bunch of money. So it's a real squeeze. But eventually you get to the point where you're not going to be spending as much after age 47, but your income's going to be going up. And you're going to be feeling a lot better. But just about that time, those munchkins that have lived in your house have graduated from high school and about ready to go to college. And you're going, ah, geez, they're going to cost an arm and a leg. And then once you get them out of college and off your payroll, then you can start really packing away money for retirement. You should be all the way from the beginning, but there's financial pressures. So I don't think it's going to be any different for the millennials than it was for the boomers or the Gen Xers or anybody else. They're just in that point in their economic cycle where they're starting to form households, get married, buy homes, buy stuff, and they're not making as much as they will be, so they feel the financial pressure. So they're saying, well, it's not my fault. This Harry Dent has studied this phenomenon going back hundreds of years. Hundreds. George Washington had these thoughts. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Susan, thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi. Yeah. You know, full disclosure, I'm a boomer.
Okay.
And I don't think we've ruined their lives, but I do feel like they have every right to blame us for some of the mess that they're in. I feel that our government has betrayed them, and they've been left with this huge financial burden that the only way they can get out of it is to tax the hell out of everyone. And from a young person's perspective, and I have a 27-year-old son and a 24-year-old son, they look at it from a perspective that, my God, how will we ever catch up? How will we ever even have the same life that our parents
had?
They
will.
They won't.
Yeah, no, they will, Susan. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. Are you married?
I am.
Okay. I don't want to ask how old you were when you got married, but most people in our generation.
And I'm 62.
Okay, well, they most everybody got married in their 20s, somewhere in their 20s. Do you remember what it was like to set up your first apartment or your first home or your first anything? You didn't have any money.
I do, and the scary part was interest rates when we bought our first house were at about 11%.
Right. Yes.
So, yes, it was very hard. But we also didn't have huge government with ridiculous pensions that, again, the private party is paying all of that.
I agree.
And it's a huge burden on our
country.
They weren't sitting at the bargaining table.
No, and at some point, that's why I've done this for years, Susan. I have warned and warned and warned. I'll get emails from today, I'm sure. I always get them. Tom, you're just trying to scare people. No, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to tell you what the future looks like for public pensions. They don't have the money. They just don't.
They don't. And when all of the rest of the boomers in government retire, they're going to be in a world of hurt, and they're going to say to the poor millennials and the Gen Xers, the only way we can fix this is for you to pay more taxes. Otherwise, you know, your parents are going to be without a pension.
Or they'll switch them over to 401ks or something like that. They'll find something, but it's not going to be the as juicy as it has been in the past. But here's...
And it shouldn't be.
No, but we've also been trained and coddled into rely upon Mother Government to take care of you. She'll be there for you.
And that's a very good point, because the reality is, for the baby boomers, we didn't have as many folks that were dependent upon all of the social programs that our children are now inheriting.
Right.
And there are and even when the social programs were created, I don't think anyone foresaw how much they would mushroom out of control to be really the sole support for so many people. And so
they should have. It's simply a matter of math. I don't know if FDR said, you know, could look after World War II to see how many baby boomers are going to be born. But the millennials have the same problem. The one who has the real problem here is the group in the middle, the Gen Xers. But the millennials there are more millennials than boomers. So when they get to be old, you watch, they're going to have the same problems with whatever the next generation is going to be called, trying to fund their retirements and government benefits. That's why all this has to change. The math is just too strong. I got to hit the break, but Susan, thank you. I do appreciate your call. Yeah, can you remember what it was like when you were 25? Most people can't.
Unpredictable, unprecedented, undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
Wayne sends me an email. You get my email by going to tomsullivan.com. He says, government will need to have one worker per resident in the future, or is that one government worker serving himself? Yeah, it's getting down there, isn't it? It just is. JPG says, regarding the millennials thinking their life has been ruined by baby boomers, is this why they think socialism is such a good option? They want to throw the baby boomer out with the bathwater. Maybe, because there's the surveys that are out there. Good point, JPG, because a lot of the surveys out there are boomers are much more, millennials are much more open to socialism. Well, yeah, if you are, if you're looking at things and you go, man, I got a lot of bills and I'm not making a lot of money and I got and I'm going to get married and buy a house and do all that. I think socialism sounds much, much better if you are in that position. I don't think boomers thought about socialism because it was a dirty word in prior generations. Now it seems to be more accepted. Maybe that's where we're going. Donato in California. Donato, hi, welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Yeah, well, when we were 20 years old, our parents thought we were irresponsible. And
yep.
When we were 30 years old, they still weren't sure.
Yep.
And every generation's been the same way.
Yep. We repeat the same pattern. We really do. you know?
Yeah. So when they get to be older and we need them, they'll be there for us. I mean, my kids will be. And so I'm guessing that other people, depending on how they raise their children, will or will not be there.
Well, boy, your phone's barely hanging on to the signal there. But I don't know. You hear all this stuff about means testing. They're not. That's more than a trial balloon. I think means testing is coming. So for people who saved and put their money away, I think that they're going to be cut back on the benefits. Why give somebody who has money in the bank a check? They already have money in the bank. Let them spend their own money. I think that's going to be part of it. That's why I say I don't think they're going to cut them off at the knees, but I think they're going to cut back on what the promises were made in the past. I just don't think there's the money. The math just doesn't allow it, especially on some of these government pensions. So I hope you're right, Donato. No, we lost his line. I hope you're right. But I don't know. Penny says, yeah, I remember when I was 25. I am concerned about retirement, though. I don't recall my dad ever being concerned. My generation has too much government. He planned well, as was the general way of life for his generation. My husband and I spend more money than after 50 than before 50. Really? My husband made the frame for our first full-size sofa, and we still have and use it. Our furniture are generally hand-me-downs, less what I work two jobs to purchase. Yeah, you're not alone, Penny. You're not alone. Let's talk to Mark, who's been waiting patiently. Hi, Mark. Welcome.
How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing great. What do you make of this?
Well, I can't blame just one group and age group, and you brought up some really good points on all of this. This is an older problem, Tom. It's the reemergence of the same economic condition happening over and over. It's the taxation and funding problems that have been created in government from older generations, and by older, I mean hundreds and hundreds of years older. And it's been just reimplemented in each government as it's established. And as they balloon up, the same thing happens and they pop. It's what happened with Rome. You know, you can't take money. And people forget, it's the tangible form of time and trade. Where barter failed, we came up with currency, a exchangeable IOU, correct?
Yeah, except for it used to be backed by gold. And then
exactly.
Nixon took us off the gold standard. And so now it's a fiat currency in the finest definition of fiat currencies.
Exactly. That's how the banking system protected itself from the people through the government, Tom. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That goes through all the governments. How do we have a global deficit? How can we owe ourselves money, Tom? Do you owe yourself money?
No.
And can you give yourself back the time lost to the system, Tom?
Yeah.
The problem is these are all systemic issues recreated through the same problem, and the people that create them have known for generations, and they just sit back because by the time any of us catch up, you're either old or dead already.
I sometimes can almost read the lips of members of Congress when they are giving speeches about some new program that they want, that they're almost saying, you can almost hear them, they had a little cloud thought like a cartoon above their head, it would say, I'm not going to be here to worry about it. I'll be dead and gone by the time this whole thing goes bust. That's what they just pass
right.
Stuff, spend money.
Right. I want to give this to you real quick. Government is a small constituency of the total people within that body, right? So that's only a small percentage of people that filters in and out trying to perform the shared unified goals we have as a people. All right, so that's the same pool of time. If all the people in a government work and they have a value of time between them that they've exchanged in a fiscal division, then you're going to have that time fluctuate based on people, but you're not going to have it fluctuate on a value, right? You only have one pie of time. You can't say we have 100% of this value of time, and that's what it takes for us to function separately, but the government needs 100% of what we're calling for that to have, and we're pulling from the same pool of time. So you've got a government at 60% efficiency and a people at 40% efficiency. How does any of that work? It doesn't. It's the way we fund government that's been wrong the whole time.
Well, it was the idea that wasn't even the idea that they came up with the founding fathers. But 1913, our illustrious members of Congress decided, no, we'll raise money from income tax. That's the answer. I got to run, but Mark, thank you. Interesting thoughts. Do I hear the full comment line band? I haven't seen them for a while, so I'm not sure I recognize them. But the market, which was down over 200 points this morning, finished up 59. So volatility is still there. The Dow's at 24,083. The S&P up 4, the NASDAQ down 3. And the price of oil, $68. The price of gold, $1,324. This caller thinks we're doomed no matter what.
I don't even know why the government collects taxes, because they just print and spend as much money as they want. It's not like we're ever going to get out of $22 trillion of debt.
True, and I think a lot of people look at it that way. They can't even imagine what $22 trillion of debt is anyway. And it's going to get a lot worse. All right, that's all the time we have for today. But I look at this millennial story, I think there's a much deeper thread to that than just, the millennials are mad at the boomers. How cute is that? It's not cute. I think it'll lead to policy changes down the road. That's it for today. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your Wednesday, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.